So today we're going to be doing mindfulness of the breath. There's a story of in the discourses of the Buddha going off on retreat. He goes off for a 3-month retreat by himself, living in the woods, practicing every day. And then at some point, he calls the monks together and he says, if anybody asks what it is that I'm doing when I'm on retreat, you can tell them that I'm practicing mindfulness of breathing. So this is a practice of the Buddha, so someone who's already enlightened is practicing mindfulness of breathing. It's considered by many Buddhists to be a good enough practice or for leading to awakening itself, to liberation, to enlightenment. Some people only do mindfulness of breathing their whole career as meditators, especially in the Zen tradition where I practiced. That's basically what you do, is focusing on your posture and your breath for a long time, for the soul, to all you do. We, of course, in the mindfulness tradition, usually expand the practice beyond the breath to include all the different aspects of our experience, and that's part of the power of the practice we teach. However, the breath is still very foundational and fundamental to the Vipassana practice, and the more you kind of focus with the breath, the more you can get anchored in the breath, the more you get stabilized in the breath, the easier it is for the rest of the practice to unfold. And that's so for various reasons. One reason is that for really deep mindfulness work, it's necessary to have a strong concentration. And the concentration and mindfulness need to be coupled. There are many different points of view about the relationship between concentration and mindfulness in the Buddhist tradition. There are some teachers who will never focus on concentration at all, but simply encourages the practitioner to develop more mindfulness, and that there's a natural concentration that follows in the wake of your mindfulness. So the practitioner doesn't have to do anything special to work on concentration. It just will come in its own good time. A whole other school of practice is you actually focus explicitly on concentration first, and often on the breath. And you do that on the breath for maybe quite some time until you're able to get very concentrated, very stabilized in the present moment. The mind doesn't waver from the present moment one bit. It's always alert here, right now. And then the person switches over to mindfulness practice. Then there's also people who kind of a hybrid of those two, or the middle way between those two, where you try to do both. And it turns out the breath is one of the places where you can actually do both, where you can develop both concentration and mindfulness at the same time. What mindfulness is the careful recognition of what's occurring in the present moment. Kind of investigation, what's happening right now? Concentration is the fixation of attention on one particular object without necessarily the investigation or better understanding what that object is. The mindfulness, you can actually limit your attention to the breath. So it's somewhat fixated or focused on the breath. But in addition, you actually investigate the breath to get to know it better. So that both those aspects are there at the same time, concentration and mindfulness. Also, the way that it's taught at Spirit Rock and IMS, often the insight meditation practice is taught so that you're taught often to start with the breath and then open up to the body and feelings and thoughts and everything. But often practitioners get the sense that there's a kind of choiceless awareness to the meditation. You're supposed to sit down and just pay attention to whatever is predominant in the moment. You might come back to the breath as kind of a default, but you're just open to whatever's occurring, and sounds, smells, tastes, touch, thoughts, whatever might arise. The way that this practice was designed originally in Burma, where we got it from, it wasn't that choiceless. Rather, the practice gives a tremendous preference for the breath, for mindfulness of breathing. If something becomes really compelling, then you leave the breath and pay careful attention to it. But you don't kind of sit down and just kind of be, kind of a free-for-all for whatever your experience is. You kind of freely kind of go around. That's one way of practicing, and it's very powerful to practice choiceless awareness, where you don't have any choice but what you pay attention to. But because of the need to couple concentration and mindfulness, it's very helpful to give some real priority to your breathing. What is compelling in our experience has little bit to do with what our interests are. If you get an itch someplace in your body and you think you have cancer, your interest in that object is going to be much stronger than if it's just, you know, a little fly or a little dust that lands there. Interest really kind of sparks what pulls our attention. So when we say we bring our attention to whatever's predominant, the most compelling, it has one of the things that adds to that compelling nature is our interest. So one of the things I want to do today is to try to convey to you that the breath is very interesting. And so that you get really interested in it, so that there's a feeling, a kind of natural feeling, hopefully, that it's compelling in itself. It's interesting to be with a breath, that it's useful to be with a breath. I've been doing breath meditation now for, well over 25 years. And I continue to find it more and more interesting. So rather than finding it, you know, like I've learned everything that I could learn about the breath, I find the more I'm attentive to it, the more it opens up to more and more great grand vistas, great possibilities and understanding. And some of you who are new to meditation might not feel that the breath is very interesting. It's quite common for at some point in a meditator's career for the breath to feel completely dull and boring, and like I used to call it cardboard breath. Who would ever want to kind of hang out there with just cardboard breath? So, and that can happen. That's fine. That's part of the process. It's not necessarily that you're doing it wrong. It's just what you have to kind of sit with while that's happening. I learned for myself that, like, I go on long retreats, there were periods of time when the breath was just tremendously sensual and very, very fascinating to be with. And then there'd be periods of time where just cardboard breath would be there. And I just learned that it was just part of the process, that these things would cycle through. And what was important for me was just to kind of stay with it and not get caught up with the fact that now it was pleasant or now it was unpleasant. Just be with it. So you want to be careful with not judging that your particular breath is inappropriate or wrong. It's just what you have at the moment. And so part of what we're doing is developing our concentration, developing our mindfulness, developing our patience with what's given to us. You don't have to kind of be actively designing, you know, design your breath. Now, one of the things about mindfulness of the breathing, which I wrote about in the last newsletter, and have been teaching about, is a very important point, and that is that you can understand mindfulness of breathing, that it works when it seemingly doesn't work. And what I mean by this is that the point of mindfulness practice is to begin to pay attention more what's going on. And if you're trying to stay with the breath and you find it very hard to stay with the breath, that difficulty of staying with the breath highlights maybe what else is going on for you. And you might not be able to notice what else is going on with you with any real care, clarity, unless you are trying to stay with the breath. So if you're maybe you've had the experience of being out in the ocean on a boat, and or on a and you don't really know how well the boat is moving. Maybe you don't even feel like maybe the boat is not hardly moving at all. But if the boat gets really close to shore, you see your boat's moving quite quickly because you have the reference point. Or perhaps a train or a bus or something. It's hard to see the speed of the bus if you're kind of looking far out at a distance. But if you see the telephone poles going by, you see they're going by really fast. It helps to have a reference. And sometimes on the train, that reference is a little bit confused because and you come to a train station, and sometimes it's not obvious if you're the train that's moving or the train next to you is moving, because the reference point is kind of, you know, variable. Having the reference point of the breath can help us to see the momentum and speed of our mind, for example. Can feel the powers of, you know, help us see what really concerns us, what really preoccupies us. We keep trying to come back to the breath, and we find that all we're doing is thinking about planning things. After a while, you really notice the power and the strength of that planning mind. If you went out and just kind of lived your normal day, and you might still do just as much planning, but it might be semi-conscious. You might hardly notice it because it's just kind of part of the wallpaper of your life. You hardly notice what's going on. So when breath meditation doesn't work, don't think that that's necessarily a mistake or a problem. When you can't stay with your breath, hopefully it's helping you become more aware of other aspects of your life, which is mindfulness practice, and then the mindfulness is working. So I hope that's helpful as we go through the day here. One of the reasons the breath is so useful as a focus of meditation is that it's almost always there. Occasionally in meditation, the breath seems to disappear and the meditator has no experience of breathing. And then in the ancient textbooks it says that, and in fact, the meditator is not cheating by breathing through their ears. The breath gets really subtle. And seemingly it's... our physiology slows down. If our mind isn't so actively chasing after thoughts and ideas, all that energy that goes into our thinking mind, is not needed. And so there's less need for the kind of energy exchange that happens with our breathing. I don't exactly know all the reasons why the breath seems to slow down, but it's quite something to watch it kind of slow down, get this subtler and subtler, and then finally disappear entirely. But normally it's always there. And because it's always there, it's a wonderful place to anchor our attention. It's there, it's always there, so it's a nice place it's also because it's rhythmic, it's kind of a cycle. It's always there, but it's always a changing phenomenon. Breath rises and passes. There's inhalation and exhalation. And that changing nature of something which you keep your attention on helps keep the interest there. Helps, if it's just a solid kind of sensation, one that never wavered, never moved, I think it'd be much harder, especially for when the mind is relatively coarse, for the mind to stay settled on that experience. And because the breath is kind of rhythmic, a cycle, it's sometimes easier to kind of stay there with it and be interested in it and track it. The breath is also connected to, is a bridge between our conscious and unconscious mind, between the autonomic nervous system and the, what's the other? What? Yes, parasympathetic. What you can control through your, and what you can't control. And so the breath can happen quite fine without any of your conscious effort or control. And you can also control your breath. You can also get involved and affect your breathing by out of choice. I can ask all of you to take a deep breath, and I think all of you probably could if I asked you to. So there's this wonderful relationship between the conscious and unconscious functioning of our bodies. And so it becomes a bridge between these two worlds. Sometimes that becomes a problem because some people will control their breath. And so it's very hard to sit down to meditate, and automatically they're controlling their breath. And then they think that something's wrong, it's a problem. From the point of view of mindfulness practice, it doesn't matter if you're controlling your breath or not. What you're asked to do in mindfulness practice is simply to notice what your breath is like. And if you're having a controlled breath, you're going to become the world-class expert in what that feels like. You're going to just welcome that in and just get to know what that's like. Don't worry about it. Don't make it a problem. If you have a breath which is not controlled, that often is very also helpful because it helps to relax. The more you can kind of rest with an uncontrolled breath, the breath is kind of just natural by itself, that helps kind of slow things down and relax. Also, our emotional life is strongly connected to our breathing. I think you all know. If suddenly you got angry, your breath would probably get very held up here. You kind of breathe kind of maybe in the upper chest and you wouldn't be able to relax entirely. If you're afraid, perhaps there's a tightening in the belly. It affects the breathing. Almost any kind of emotion you have has some effect on the breathing. And as you learn to stay with your breathing, that relationship between the breath and the emotions goes in two directions. One is that you start noticing the relationship between them, start noticing that when there's an emotion, how it affects the body, how it affects the breathing. But you also see the other direction, and that is that as you stay with your breathing and let your breathing be fluid, be soft, be relaxed, it kind of lubricates the emotions. Some emotions get frozen in us. We hold on to our emotions. But as we do that, there's a tendency often of holding our musculature and our torso in some way or other, and which relating to our breathing. And so, but if you're breathing, if you stay conscious of your breathing and continue to breathe in a normal, kind of relaxed way, then you tend to work through the places where the breath is held. And if the breath is not held anymore, it's hard to hold on to those emotions. And it tends to set those emotions in motion. It tends to lubricate the emotions or soften them or soften their grip so they can move through us in a more complete way. You might try that sometimes. It can be as simple as when you're driving a car. If you come to a red light, and say you've been driving and you're a little bit tense about driving in a hurry to get somewhere, and you come to the red light, notice what your breathing is like. And if you're sensitive, you probably find that the tension of driving has affected the way you breathe. I mean, and then begin breathing consciously for a while, breathing in a relaxed way, and probably what you'll find is that tension begins to dissipate quite quickly, if it's not too strong. So we see the relationship goes in both directions, that the emotions affect the breathing, and our breathing can have an effect on the emotions. So that's kind of for a little bit as an introduction for the day. What we'll do today is a series of guided meditations and exercises on breathing. And so hopefully as you spend the day, much of the day, in touch with your breathing, getting familiar with it, exploring it, understanding it better, making it a stronger habit to be with your breathing. I have a relatively good habit now of coming back to my breath or being with my breath that follows me about much of my day. And I find it very useful to do that. Even as I'm talking now, I'm actually paying attention a little bit to my breathing. And what I notice is because I'm talking and trying to get some ideas across, that my breath, my musculature around my diaphragm is held a little bit. And so I notice that way it's held and tight, and even when I'm talking sometimes I'm relaxing a little bit that area so I can stay a little bit more relaxed and not get tense as I'm speaking. So to make a habit out of being with your breath is very helpful. For those of you who are new to our one day sittings at St. Mark's, I should tell you that there are bathrooms over by the breezeway, by the offices there. And you can go and, help yourself to the bathroom. There is, what? Oh yeah, if you would double flush the toilets, they're low flush toilets, which means we have to flush twice. And it's important to do because they do periodically get backed up, and then it's a mess. And behind those double doors in the back there's hot water and tea. So during the walking time or the break, if you want to go get some tea, it's available there. And I think with the nice weather today, we can do walking meditation outside. However, there is a church function going on in the parish hall. And if people would like, we can open the doors to the church and you can be in there. Maybe you feel it's a little bit more private or something. And maybe Renee? Maybe you can open it if someone wants to go in there. And then there are two donation baskets in the back table, one for the rent and one for the teaching. And we've been asking that for the rent of the room, it's a little bit cheaper, this room, than the parish hall. But probably if everyone put in $5 for the rent, that would cover our expenses for renting the room. And then in the middle of the day, we'll have a break for lunch. Seem okay? So you've been sitting for a while. So why don't we just stand for a moment and stretch and breathe deeply. There's a wonderful mantra connected to the breathing. And this mantra, some people have said, encapsulates all of the Dharma, all of Buddhism. And it's the great mantra of letting go. And it's the mantra that goes, take a deep breath, and then you go, ah. So let's do that three times. Take deep breath. And close your eyes. And then do it three more times, but this time silently to yourself. But the main thing to do is take some really deep breaths, and as you let go, relax your shoulders, your stomach. Just let go into your body. And then one more cycle of three deep breaths. But this time as you breathe in, the important part of the cycle you want to pay attention to is the in-breath. Breathe really deep, long, full in-breaths, feeling the body, feeling what happens in the body as you breathe in, what gets stretches and where the pressure goes. And then three more deep breaths. But this time, see if you can fill your lower body, your belly, your abdomen. Let your belly fill out, fill up and down. In all directions. Front, back, to the side. And relax, and then take another three deep breaths, but this time into your upper torso, into your collarbone, your shoulders, letting the top of your chest fill as you breathe in. Let it stretch. And then take another long, slow, deep three breaths. But this time, see if you can feel your back rib cage, your shoulder blades. Let that pressure move into the back. Notice what happens there. You take really deep breaths, you might feel the back ribs kind of make more space between themselves. And then let go of any effort to breathe deeply. And just take a few moments, just feel what's happening in your body. Be present for your body as it is. And then begin noticing how your body experiences the breathing. If you can use your imagination to imagine that you've never before experienced a breath, that this is your first breath ever. You're getting to know it for the first time, as if you don't really know what a breath is. Begin feeling what happens in your body as you breathe. What parts of your body have the strongest sensations connected to breathing? What parts tend to move the most, have the most pressure or the most release of pressure? What parts of your body, where in your body is the sensations of breathing most subtle? Where is it most gross? Kind of go around and explore what your breathing is like in your body. Matter-of-fact kind of investigation. Let go of any thoughts you have about what meditation is. As you exhale, notice if there's any tension or any holding in your body that you might be able to relax or release as you exhale. Perhaps it allows you to settle back a little bit more onto your seat. Letting go of your thoughts and concerns, and being with your experience of breathing. If there are any simple ways that you can adjust how you're breathing so that it's more comfortable or more pleasant. Why don't you try doing that? Maybe by breathing more deeply, or maybe relaxing your belly more as you breathe. Maybe breathing more softly. Maybe participating a bit more with the release, letting go of exhalation. Experiment a little bit and see if there's any really small adjustments that can be made that makes your experience of breathing even just slightly more comfortable or pleasant. Letting your breathing be the center of your life, the center of your universe. If there are some things which are preoccupying you, disturbing you, making it difficult to be with the breath, maybe you can imagine that you're snorkeling or scuba diving, where you're so aware of each breath. It's so loud or so predominant. But it doesn't exclude you noticing all the experiences around you. Rather than pushing away your distractions, if they're strong, imagine that you're in the ocean. Where the main focus is the breathing. So grateful for the breath that keeps you alive. see if you can become sensitive to the effect that your breathing has on your body. This different effect that the inhalation has compared to the exhalation. Notice how there might be a different effect on your body, your being, depending on how intimate you are with the breathing. Sometimes you're able to be quite close to it and quite very present, and sometimes your mind drifts off and you're not so present. Notice the consequence, the effect on your body, on your being, that the breathing has. Try to let go of any thoughts or concerns about how well you're doing or poorly you're doing. Just very simply, directly, be with the breath, with the alternating cycles of breathing in and out. Getting to know it better, resting in the experience. And then in the last few minutes of the sitting, continue with your breathing the best you can. But if you find it helpful, you might breathe a little bit more deeply than you normally would, just to have as good and close contact with the breathing as you can. Breathing in a little bit more deeply, not so you get strained or tired, just a little bit more fully. Releasing a little bit more fully as you exhale. So we're now going to take a half an hour period for a walking meditation, and we'll do a series of, and I'll give you a series of different instructions for a walking meditation as we go through the day. And for the first period now, for half an hour, I'd like to ask you to very quietly, as quietly as you can, to get up and to walk out, and then go out and start walking, but to just walk around. Don't do it, even if you know how to do walking meditation from before, don't find a pathway that's particularly, you know, short. Just, you could wander around, you could choose a long pathway to walk back and forth, and just kind of walk a little bit slower than maybe a street pace, but just kind of walk casually around, be at ease. Don't, you know, try to do anything particular, don't try to be particularly meditative. But everything you do during this time, whether it's getting up here and going to the bathroom, or being in the bathroom, or going out walking and doing the walking meditation, stay connected to your breathing. That's all you're asked to do, is just stay connected somehow, be aware of the inhalations, the exhalation, as you walk around. Maybe you can imagine that your breath is kind of leading you around as you're going around. And walk as slow as you need to walk so that you can stay connected to your breathing. Perhaps if it helps, you can coordinate your steps with your breathing in the sense that you can notice as you're breathing how many steps it takes to do an inhalation, how many steps it takes to do an exhalation. But just the main point is just to kind of stay connected with your breathing as you go about, and let it be a casual time, like a easygoing time, just kind of walk around. And then in half an hour I will ring the bell and you come back, and we'll start again in 35 minutes. So we'll start again at 10:40, and I'm going to fold up some of the more chairs and things and make more space here in the front. And those of you who are in the back, especially if you have trouble hearing, If you want to come back a little bit early from this walking time, then maybe I can help find some space near the front for you. So please enjoy your walking time.